Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to write a screenplay week by week, page by page, one scene at a time.
Were we going to change it? Because Matt was complaining last week that we were going to change it.
Are we changing it?
I don't know.
So you wanted to jack up my fucking intro, bro?
I want to do
a step on my intro?
I want to serialize this thing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
We're trying to hit syndication.
What I like about Heaven Heist is that it's you're following one story week to week, but maybe we should start like a little B story in the podcast, in the little talkie parts, right? Mm-hmm. Keep them coming back every day. You know, it's like the new drama is that Matt complained about the intro and Will and Freddie want to keep it the way it is. And like, maybe we should check in with that B plot.
Yeah. Okay.
So this bit went well. I'm Will Campos. I'm a screenwriter.
I'm Freddie Wong.
I'm Matt Arnold, and that's why the penguin walked. Now, in order to get that joke, you're going to have to listen to the previous episode, because at some point you'll see the setup. That's right.
It's even worse than Netflix binge watching. Is Netflix like
reverse watching?
Reverse watching? You have to watch it backwards in order to get it? Is that the idea?
Oh, shit. I messed up. I give you the punchlines and then tell you what the setups were.
That's
in
actually
episode.
Okay. Yes, Matt, if you start doing this where you tell the punchline of a joke at the beginning of the podcast and then you close, how has no one ever thought of this?
Okay.
And then you close the podcast by telling what the question to the punchline was.
I'm going to organically do a setup of a joke in this episode. You won't know when I do it.
This
but I'm going to set up a joke in this episode, and then I'll do the payoff next episode.
Come see the amazing Matt Arnold perform podcast feats, the likes of which... I just realized that what I'm talking about could just very easily be you set up a question for what the joke is, and then you say what the punchline is at the end.
Also,
like, there's no reason to flip that backwards.
Also, our podcast is way more serialized than most people's podcasts, because we are literally right. Writing a scene
no,
of a
but
movie
that's what
one
I'm
scene
saying
at a
is
time.
It's like a B story.
Oh, okay.
It's a fun B story to check in with, like the emotional drama of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, at the beginning of the podcast, it was clear that Will and Matt were best friends, but now it's like Freddie and Will are best friends.
Oh.
And Matt's starting drama because he feels left out. And it's like, are Will and Freddie going to like be cool and let Matt in, or is Matt going to like go too far and make a ghastly mistake?
Well, I think either way, we should let Knock Knock, who's there, we should let Freddie... intro. Where are we in this? Where are we in this story?
Right? What's the movie about?
This is a movie called Heaven Heist. We've been cranking on this for a little bit. It's Ocean's 11 meets Coco. Coco
meets
the Pixar
Coco,
movie,
baby.
Not Coco, like hot Coco.
With a little splash of Coco.
A little splash of Coco in there.
It's about a crew of criminals robbing the celestial bank of heaven.
And the foibles that they get along the way.
And the friends they make along the way.
So last week we were finishing up. We got the like little heist planning sequence and they were putting all the pieces in place. They got the dumplings catered to the god, Tai Shen. They got the bank heist kind of situation figured out. And then it's on Jin to try and rope the brother in to make sure the bro is praying. But lo and behold, turns out... Turns out the brother has solved his own money issues with the power and kindness in his heart.
Of Taoism.
Yeah, so the two gangsters that were giving his brother a shakedown
are now monks
at his brother's hospital, however that works.
Well, they're at the temple.
Oh,
he
the
finds
temple.
Them
they're
at the temple.
Yeah, so now Jin's got to figure out how to ruin his brother's life in time for this heist, which is in like 2 days.
So we were kicking this around a little bit before we clicked roll. We were just so excited to get into it. And it definitely feels like, yes, it's like... Jin needs to take this guy. He needs to turn lemons into lemonade here.
Yes.
Really
lemonade into lemons, if you think about it.
That's true.
I don't get it.
His brother's got lemonade. He's got sweet stuff, and he's got to get it back to
he's
got
to get it back to
sour lemons.
That's, you know, how I've never seen that quote in a movie, right?
Turning lemonade
where someone's like,
we got
to turn lemons into lemonade. It's like, no, dude, we're already screwed. We got to turn these lemonade back into lemons. That's true. You can't, when life gives you lemonade, how do you?
What
you
do you do
with
it?
You can't, it's like spilled milk. You can't turn lemonade back into lemons.
Spilled milk. Okay.
Hey guys, if you Google Will Campos brainy quote, you can find my brainy quote page where all of the witty things I've said have been cataloged by the internet. And that one will be on there.
Yes. Yeah, so what we need, this scene is going to be about Jin needs to undo this positive fortune that his brother has.
This fortuitous event
that his brother has found a way to stop these goons from shaking him down for money and has turned him into men of the cloth of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
How does Jin make his brother miserable again?
Because ultimately his goal here is he needs Freddie to pray to Tsai Shen for money, right?
Yes.
So that they can make it rain, the money in the miracle well. One thought, obviously, is he's got these two criminals right here. We could have Jin try essentially do what Freddy's talking about and turn lemonade back into lemons. He could appeal to the criminal side of these two reformed monks. And it's like, there's nothing more fucked up in a movie than like when someone like intentionally gets someone who like to like relapse or fall back on their old dirty ways.
Yeah.
It just definitely feels like this is like bad Jin coming out to play.
Yeah,
if
these were drug addicts, it'd be like the next scene Jin is like, hey, man, you were just here to get that free prescription drugs, am I right?
Pull out heroin. It's like Jesse Pinkman saying that he goes to the support group to sell meth to people.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
One thing we had been kicking around would be like, he's like, oh, you guys are like in on this, right? Like,
he thinks that it's a scam.
He comes at them like, oh, you guys are just trying to scam my brother to get the goods, right? And they're like, no, what are you talking about? We're real monks now. We've given up our life of crime. And he convinces them to join his life of crime. But it would have to be like that they're going to try to like, you know, steal some money or something like that. Mm-hmm.
So his brother runs his hospital, right?
Yes.
So you could do, on a second draft, you could do something too, where it's like, again, I don't know anything. Well, I do know some stuff that's going on in Hong Kong, but I don't know like some of the like more contemporary problems. Like, right, if this was like in downtown LA or something, or this was in like the Midwest, you could totally do, you know, there's an opioid crisis, and that's one of the things his brother's dealing with a bunch of, is like helping people on opioids. And then sure enough, like he tells the guys like, all right, we're going to steal all the prescription medication and all stuff that helps these people get off opioids. And he's doing it just to make his brother desperate, but it's also like Jin's also causing serious harm, because at some point it's going to be his brother's going to feel like Jin's lost. Like, I think what Jin does needs to be bad enough that his brother at some point is like, you know, you're not my brother anymore. So like, that's his low point.
It looks like it's party drugs is mostly Hong Kong's problem.
Do people get addicted?
We're gonna hit the hospital stash of party drugs.
Ketamine. Yeah, it's a doctor drug, and it's being abused for its, you know, dissociative, sedative qualities, and they're saying that ketamine's a big one that's an issue right now. Ecstasy and ket. So,
okay.
Yeah, ketamine.
Okay, because one thing you could do is, again, the hospital doesn't have any money, but they do have a pharmacy that has like a bunch of drugs, right?
Yes.
And then if they have raided the hospital and stole all their drugs, that would be a big problem for the hospital that might move his brother to desperate financial straits.
Yeah, one, it would be they lost a lot of money because drugs cost money, so they lose all their surplus. Two, probably it looks bad. Like, I'm reading this, like, sure seems like if you're a hospital that suddenly lost all your ketamine, it's either going to be you were stolen or like, hey, where did it go? Like, you know, that stuff's regulated and tracked and whatnot. So it'd be definitely be a pretty big problem for again, the same way that like when all the chemicals like disappear from a high school closet, they check the like,
yeah, the high school closet.
Oh, so like the brother's gonna get investigated.
Yeah, you definitely have the cops come by and like be like, hey, what the fuck's going on? Like, you know,
are you skimming off the top?
Yeah, are you skimming off the top? Like, yes, if you're a hospital,
and it turns out the brother's really into Dead Mouse and like EDM, and they're like,
Freddie's a big fan of Dead Mouse 5.
He didn't know.
By the way, I have a horrible compulsion where anytime someone says Dead Mouse, I have to say Dead Mouse 5. It's a joke that I refuse to let go of. It's just hardwired into my brain. My dad used to do this, not with Dead Mouse, because he doesn't know what Dead Mouse is, but my dad used to, when Lord of the Rings Return of the King came out, my dad would, anytime someone said Lord of the Rings Return of the King, he had to say Lord of the Rings Return of the King. It would just be like, you guys want to go see Lord of the Rings? And he'd just say Lord of the Rings Return of the King. It was just like, he had to say it. It was so funny. Anyway. You could do like a heist within a heist here, where Jin's like, oh shit, my bro, you know, like these gangsters aren't trying to shake him down anymore. So he's going to tempt them with this pharmacy heist. And then like they knock over the pharmacy. One thing we were talking about a little bit was that it's been a while since we've seen Mrs. Wonderful. Like, yeah, she hasn't shown up, and it feels like if you're going to be doing mob stuff, it feels like she should come back
in. Mob.
So, like, one thought would be that it's, like, the big complication here. Because ultimately where this needs to go, where we want this to go, is that Jin really screws his brother over, you know, more than he's trying to, right? Because his whole plan is probably, like, we're going to heist all these drugs, we're going to sell them for cash, I'm going to backstab these two guys and then donate the cash back to the hospital, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's at the thinking, end of all this. At
he's
the end
not
of
really
this.
Thinking that his brother, he's not thinking this is going to hurt his brother. He's just going to try to, but he's risking his brother's whole
Yeah, he
deal.
Thinks his brother's going to be bummed out for 2 days, and then he's going to get a bunch of money.
Yes.
Like
and that might be a good thing to express as well, like to try to see that rationalization. Now, in terms of Mrs. Wonderful, one thought, she becomes a complication on that, right? Because now it's like, So like one thought would be like these gangsters, they're like, oh, we have a connection. We know who we can sell this ketamine or whatever to. And that turns out to be Mrs. Wonderful. And then she's like, Jin, what the hell are you doing heisting a freaking pharmacy? This better not be how you're going to pay me back the $10 bajillion you owe
me. I think you could do something where the end of this, the problem is, sure, he might fix his brother's immediate, yes, the idea of his brother's, you know, hospital losing a ton of money or having a trouble or being investigated or whatever it is, like, that's resolved. But now the problem is that I think at the end of this, it is like he has put his brother's hospital in Miss Wonderful's grasp forever. Like, he's made his brother's life terrible. Like, if at the end of this she comes in and realizes, again, look, my 2 minutes on Google looking at the ketamine problem in Hong Kong, the idea that she would come and be like, I like this hospital is now our fucking, this is where we're fucking
base of operations. This is our
like perfect.
Front.
Like nobody's gonna suspect you know, a charity Buddhist hospital over a Buddhist hospital. Like, you know, you can bring in, you know, 20 kilos a month and we're gonna sell out of here. Perfect. And if not, you know, we're gonna identify the authorities saying that you sold it to me in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because there's two monks sold the ketamine to her.
Oh.
For the blackmail. Yeah. So, like, he's stuck in a rock and hard place. Like, he was going to go to prison and all this stuff. Yeah, he's screwed.
So, from Freddie's perspective, Freddie the monk, not Freddie the guy, the YouTube celebrity / podcaster / filmmaker troubadour. So, it's Freddie's worst nightmare, right? Yeah. Is now, like, every good thing he's trying to do with his life
is being
corrupted. And not only that, it was his brother who made it happen, right? Because It's like, it would be realizing that, like, you know, like, his brother was working him this whole time, and he thinks his brother works for Mrs. Wonderful and is, you know, part of, like, you know, he's just, yeah.
I don't, okay.
The
sad turn could be, I think he still doesn't know that his brother works for Miss Wonderful, right? I think that's the ultimate betrayal. He knows this. He's worried
into
the
crime.
At the beginning, he's worried that his brother's doing bad stuff. But, like, again, I think in his mind, he thinks that he's still, like,
petty,
on the streets, maybe
theft.
Doing drugs, like petty theft. Like, he doesn't think he's fucking involved in this. Like, he would never think he's a drug dealer.
Yeah,
like
a smuggler
level.
That would be, you know, thrown in jail.
The
for
idea
the rest of
that, like, he's going to go, like, again, he's this, like, good monk. He's going to stand up and, you know, if she's going to kill him, she's going to kill him. Like, if the final thing is, like, he's willing to, like, stand up and be like, I'm not going to give this hospital to you. She's like, well, if you don't, I'm going to kill your brother. And he's like, what? How do you know, like, who's... And then it's like... And then the reveal that it is, like... That she, you know, I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he doesn't know already that he works.
Yeah,
he obviously
exactly.
doesn't know at all that Jin works. Again,
yeah.
they were worried he was in a life of crime, but that's what I'm saying. Mrs. Wonderful can reveal that
Jin is part of this.
I was going to say, just because it feels like, given the lighthearted tone of this movie, mm-hmm. like, just chucking in, like, the ketamine abuse problem in Hong Kong feels a little tacky.
Mm-hmm.
Just hear me out, mm-hmm. especially just given how tongue-in-cheek the movie is. You do, it's a children's hospital, and they're stealing baby aspirin. And baby aspirin is, like, the new drug that everyone's getting high on at the parties and stuff like that.
I don't know. I wonder if you want, if it's okay to be a little... I mean, okay,
right.
So I will say this.
I just thought it'd be funny if it was, like baby Advil is, like,
well,
this
but
designer
let me,
party
let me,
thing.
No,
like,
let me say this.
This is a dope-ass movie about the souls,
like,
of hell.
As far as, like, the range of drugs are concerned, ketamine's not heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's
yes.
like, it's not... It's not opioids in terms of the.
I don't know what ketamine
is. This is Freddie Wong telling all of our underage listeners that
I'm just saying
abusing ketamine.
No, I'm just saying, like, in terms of
deal.
The. I'm just saying in terms of, like, the. You know what I mean? It's like ecstasy.
It's
a party drug.
Freddie, 1 second, kids, don't do drugs. If you do drugs, we'll find you.
Yeah,
and you'll be in trouble because we'll
you'll
tell
be
your parents.
Mad trouble.
You'll be in mad trouble.
You'll get all your podcasting.
Hey kids, you can't see it, but I'm turning my chair around and spinning my baseball cap.
Could you go ahead
around.
And sit on that chair backwards?
I'm gonna do it right now.
Okay,
you're
literally making more people do drugs.
Will spun his chair
is.
Around and now he's
I'm
sitting
gonna,
in
you know
it
what?
Backwards.
And I'm not wearing a baseball cap, but
oh, he's taking off his. Oh my God, he's putting his headphones
on?
No,
you don't understand. You're an old man now. What you think is cool is not cool.
I just flipped my... Now I got the left headphone in the right ear and the right ear in the left headphone because I'm crazy
like
that.
Talk to the children, Will.
And you know what else
is
crazy, guys? Doing drugs. And I know it sounds ironic, but, like, come on. Like, your brain is still grown. You're a young kid. You don't need to go do party drugs to have a good time. I'm being serious here. Anyway, we're going to move on with the podcast.
Will's now re-spinning his chair around and realigning
his
headphones.
Well, when you're a 34-year-old man talking to young kids, you got to use reverse psychology. Because they think anything you do is not cool.
Uh-oh.
So
oh, kids,
hey, tons of drugs. I love doing drugs. This is what cool old people do. Man, invite me over to do some drugs. Can't wait to do drugs.
Oh,
now they're never going to do drugs because who wants this guy coming over to do drugs with
if
you?
If you do drugs, you'll turn into Matt Arnold.
Yeah, if you do drugs,
you'll spend
all
your money on board games and minifigs.
Oh, man, now I want to do more drugs.
You'll get really opinionated about movies and alienate all your friends.
Oh, no.
Sounds like a recipe for success.
All right.
That is one thing I can say PSA-wise to you. If you think you need to fucking get high to be a better writer, let me stop you right there, bucko. Everything you write while doing anything is going to be garbage.
Yes, yep. Sure, it's true.
Even a sip of alcohol makes us too sleepy to write.
Remember, we tried to do that on VGHS once, I think. We were like, it was my birthday.
Whiskey, that's,
we were like,
that's
we were
what
like,
real writers
it was,
do.
It was my birthday, and we were like, let's be men and drink Irish whiskey while we write. And then I remember we just wound up just like shouting Lord of the Rings quotes at the top of our our lungs.
And putting on Lord of the Rings.
And then my then girlfriend, now wife, Cherish, left my house because she was like, you guys are being too loud. I'm going home. And then Matt was like, well, I think you just got in trouble, dude. Anyway, don't drink or do drugs while you're writing. Okay. Anyway, back to the story. Okay, so yeah, let's make a ketamine. That's fine.
You can use one of the fun slang terms for ketamine so that people don't, you know, so that you're not like direct.
Miss Wonderful's a horrible person.
She's got the honey oil.
She's doing
vitamin K.
The vitamin K.
That sure. Cat Valium.
That's what. That's her code name for
K.
It is vitamin
super
K.
Super acid. That green. I got a webpage.
Is that all synonyms for?
It must be very frustrating for the makers of Special K cereal that Special K is also the name for ketamine. So, okay, so yes, they're going to do a little ketamine heist, and then they're going to go sell the drugs, and then Jin is like in the background being like, yeah, we're going to go sell the drugs, and then, you know, secretly he's like, hey, and then I'm going to bop these guys on the head.
And his brother comes in and is like, oh, no, like, you know, whatever money I had in my cash register and all my ketamine is gone.
The cash register? Sorry, the cash register?
Wherever he keeps his money, you know, is his vault, but
his gold bars.
No money
and
all of his
what
ketamine.
What if he did, okay, it's hard left here. What if it was like the beginning of Les Miserables and the brothers, like the priest, and it's like Jean Valjean has stolen all his ketamine, and he's like, here. Take this, the rest of my ketamine. You must have all of it. All my drugs. It's like, this got weird, guys.
I'm trying to figure out what it's useful for in terms of actual medicine.
It's an anesthetic.
So okay. I think you would do that. He basically.
The hospital would use it as an anesthetic and it would justify it. They, you know.
Whatever. They steal all the drugs and.
They steal everything. They raid the pharmacy. Yes, I think you can just do that. They raid the pharmacy. They steal everything in the pharmacy.
They stole all the good drugs and the bad drugs.
Yeah. They only left the baby aspirin. That's the only thing they left.
And so
11 to 30% of ketamine is done in the butt, by the way. Oh, no, that's the bioavailability. It has a 30% chance of working in your butt.
That's not what bioavailability means.
Yeah, it's like how useful, like, so epidural is like
77%. No, sorry, really quick, just to be clear, just the bioavailability, it means like
the absorption rate. That's what I just said.
It doesn't mean like there's a
stop telling teens that listen to this podcast to put ketamine in their ass.
We're not saying put it in your ass. I'm saying it's the absorption rate. I thought that was the percent that was, but the absorption rate is less good in your
butt. Hey, Matt, let me ask you a question real quick. How do you think they found that number out? Do you think they were just like, let's survey people who use ketamine and hope we get some accurate responses?
Okay, anyways, I don't know, on Google I just wrote what drugs work best in the butt. This tells you how serious we
this
are.
This was the last episode of Story Break. We are going to get canceled off the Max Fun Network.
No. Okay.
Right. What? What were we talking? Okay,
well, if you want it to be not so serious, it'd be ketamine. We can make a booty magic medicine if you want.
No, it's going to be ketamine. So I keep banging the table.
Special K.
All right, so they steal all the drugs, and then, yes, the idea, I think where we could wrap up this week would be like the person that these guys want to fence the drugs to is Mrs. Wonderful.
Yes.
Or Miss Wonderful.
Maybe we could finally do one of those things. Maybe it's not like Miss Wonderful opens the door. Maybe we see, you know, you do that thing where, like, the guys are nervously selling the drugs, and who comes out around the shadow, and it's Miss Wonderful. She's like, where did you get this ketamine?
I'm like, perfectly
pure. Oh, no, she's coming. You know, she's coming.
What do you mean?
She's re-entered the story.
As again, the two ways you get ended are, like, Miss Wonderful shows up at the hospital. It's like, da-da-da.
No, she's not going to show up at the hospital. They go to do the drug deal. And then,
yeah, I'm saying you might not even have, like, do you want Jin? It's a question.
Do you want Jin to know?
Yes, is it a complication
entered.
That Jin?
Jin does not know. That's
what
I'm saying.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's the audience knows that Miss Wonderful now is on the trail somehow.
That makes sense because it feels like then it's like it's an unintended consequence for Jin, right? Jin is like, here's his nice, clean plan to get his brother to pray. And it makes sense that he doesn't see all the unintended side effects of his disastrous actions, right?
My point is that the end of the scene is like Miss Wonderful be like, where do you get that? Oh, a hospital run by a monk. Perfect. And then it's like, oh, like Miss Wonderful's going to fucking do something, but none of the characters know it yet. Like
what do you mean they don't know? Did Jin see that she's there?
No, that's what
I'm asking.
That's
the question.
You could either have, he's like, oh shit, Miss Wonderful's involved, or
she needs to see Jin. It's to me, the complication isn't just she's like, I know there's ketamine now. I think literally just hold on.
Yeah.
We're not going to write it. That's why to me, like the best version of the scene is they go up to the car that the person they're buying the drugs from is in. And then Miss Wonderful's goons come out and she comes out and she sees Jin and she's like, what the fuck?
No,
like,
this is what I'm asking. This is just a thing to think about, which is you could do that. Then the complication is like, she's like, what the fuck are you doing? And it's like, I guess he's doing a side hustle or he can. That in itself isn't much of a the complication, obviously, ultimately, is he inadvertently ruined his brother's life. Like him having to explain off why he's selling ketamine is like, that's a complication, but that's not like, you know, it's like a small obstacle. So it's a question of, do you do it where the audience now knows this complication is hanging over them and it becomes another thing you're building up in terms of this heist? Like, as the heist is, like, Jin thinks he's got to figure
here,
it out.
I guess what I would say, this doesn't feel like a plate we're spinning that's going to come back later in 20 pages. This feels like the next thing that is going to happen. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like we're like, oh, we're checking in on this, and now we're going to go do a bunch of other stuff, and then this is going to come back
around. Bear with me. The way I can see it happening is he does it successfully. He robs the place. The turn of the scene for him is that his brother is truly miserable. He's like, oh, my God, I'm probably going to lose my license. They're going to have to shut this place down. There's no way I can refill all this medicine. Like, this was $100,000 worth of medicine. You know, it's over. Like, this place is screwed. He's like, ha-ha, perfect. Like, he's going to be praying, like, for it. And then, surprise, like, we see that they sell it to Miss Wonderful. And she's like, where the fuck did you get this? And then the way he could come back is that becomes a complication during the heist when his brother's praying. Miss Wonderful busts down the door and is like, I'm fucking taking this place over. And then his brother realizes his brother, like, Jin was involved. And then instead of praying for the thing, he prays for his brother's soul or whatever it is. And it becomes like a problem that causes the heist to go wrong. And it becomes like this piece of tension that you're building up where we know Miss Wonderful is, you know, it's going to be like, where the fuck did he get all this illegal medication or whatever is all. It's like that way you play, as opposed to, again, it's just a question of what you do. If you do it this way, then it's like.
So you're saying Jin and Mrs. Wonderful, Ms. Wonderful don't cross paths?
No.
So then how does she find out that Jin's involved?
We don't know how the heist is going to go down, but if it's like, if she comes to the brother's hospital to essentially be
is
like.
Is that just too many steps, though? Is it just an extra step for no reason?
What's the extra step?
Of her she will find out it's Jin, right? Eventually.
It can either be a complication right now, and then I'm trying to think of what the recovery is. Like, what are you trying to solve, like, complication-wise? Because it's not really quite a complication for the heist yet, because his brother, knowing that he did it, his brother's going to be mad at him.
So, okay, so there's a couple of things. There's a couple of things. The way I would see what you're talking about would play out would be, yes, you would see Jin do this, and then, yes, his brother is devastated, and Jin feels really both relieved that, you know, he got this to work, but really guilty, right?
Yes.
Because the heist is going to go down tomorrow, so it's like, perfect, my brother's going to go pray tomorrow, you know, we're going to see the prayer and send him the money, right?
Yeah, so he was like, don't you feel bad? Your brother's miserable. He's like, he'll be miserable for 2 days, and he'll be fine, and you get the rationale
behind
it.
Yes, and then we're like, uh-oh. Mrs. Wonderful is caught in wind of the scent of what's going on. Right?
Yes, and we're like, we know it's not going to be.
And then essentially what I would do is then I would do the heist.
Yeah.
And then when you do the heist, you would get to the scene where they see the prayer. And what they see is he's in the middle of praying. And then Mrs. Wonderful, they're watching through the portal.
Yeah.
Mrs. Wonderful comes in and is like, I'm taking over your fucking hospital. And if you don't, I'm going to kill your brother. And he's like, what do you mean you're going to kill my brother? Oh, your brother, Kyle. He's the one who robbed your place.
Exactly.
He's the one who did that, whatever. He would see his brother realize all of this stuff in the middle of the heist.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And though, so the one thought we had, something where I was kind of always seeing this going, would be that, again, their hope is that he's going to pray for money so that they can send him the money.
Yes.
And then you would do something like the turn in that moment winds up being that because Freddy is a good person, he prayed, Freddy the guy in the story, not Freddy the real guy,
not a
who's
person.
A terrible person. Freddy prays for Kyle. Right, because he's like, yes. Kyle is right. He prays
he's
for Kyle's
running
soul
with the wrong
instead.
Crowd.
So
yeah.
Then the whole prayer goes wrong too. It's like an interesting.
Oh, and another really good thing too is that Jin, which is probably something we should plant maybe ahead of time, even actually. This would be important in the second draft. We should already know what Jin's point of view is in terms of his brother not defending him when they were kids, because then in this miracle well, as he's watching his brother, he's going to see his brother like nonviolently, but stand up like he refuses to like betray his brother to Miss Wonderful and instead prays for his soul. Like it screws up the heist because he's not praying for money, but like he's going to sit there and realize like how good of a person his brother actually is. And then that's going to help motivate him to whatever, how we pivot this heist into Jin's savior.
Okay, here's a question. Does Miss Wonderful kill Freddy?
Ooh.
Like, as far as making that moment devastating, right?
I could see that.
And then, of course, then it would be then he, when he's escaping, he would run into his brother, you
in
know,
heaven.
In heaven. Or
what are
you
doing here?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
If it happens off screen, that's a pretty good, oh, shit.
I mean, it wouldn't be, he'd be watching it in the prayer. It would be like the last thing he does before he dies.
Yeah.
It's because he refuses to compromise his principles. He's like, I can't let you do that for the hospital, right? You know, then he prays for his brother and then blam, he gets killed.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty dark. But we've been off here in Goof Troop land long enough. It might be time to, you know.
No, I mean, it's definitely a cool moment. I can see, like, it's he's praying, and you can even see that they're pulling a gun out, and then the prayer just goes black, and you don't know. And he's like, oh, my God, do they shoot him? He's like, probably not. It's probably he just stopped praying. Like, what do you mean? And, like, Jin's, like, running out of, like, Tai Shen's place and, like, heading towards the harbor. And they're like, Jin, get back here. You can't stop it. What's happened? He's, like, waiting for the boat to come up. Like, oh, shit. Like, we're like, oh, my God, his brother gets shot or not.
And he sees his brother.
Yeah, his brother comes off of the boat, like, no. Like, it could be really cool. It definitely pivots it because it feels like that's almost like your second act. And then it's like, I'm trying to think of what you do with the brother in heaven, which is exciting. I just don't know what it is yet.
Oh, that seems like a problem. Actually, what you could do is
probably a Futurist problem.
That's a Futurist problem.
Yeah.
But that is it. Look, the Ms. Wonderful killing his brother is like, yeah, as far as consequences for your shitty self-centered actions, right? It's like you got your brother killed.
Yeah, we could probably trim the cooking anime to get it to that his brother gets killed.
Don't you touch a frame of that.
Don't you? Yeah, I'm with Freddie on that one. You stay the fuck away from my
cooking
anime.
You're right. It's probably the 60 pages before the cooking anime that can be trimmed.
Okay. All right. That's all really interesting. The only thing I'm kind of missing is I was hoping to get in like some sort of confrontation scene between Jin and his brother before he goes back on the heist. But maybe you can still do that. I'm sure. Or maybe I still feel like you would want to do a scene between the two of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I wonder if I'm trying to think of how you do it, but it'd be nice if this scene ended with his brother's miserable, but they have a personal. Like, I think Jin, like, his brother's not only miserable, that's one thing, but it's like him and his brother have a you know, breaking point to some degree at the end of this. I'm just trying to think of why.
Yes.
It could be as simple as Freddy knows that Jin, he knows that Jin let those guys. Break it in.
Yeah.
He like uses, like Jin uses his code or something to get in the door and then.
He's like, how could you? And he tries to be like, look, man, you know, they asked for it. It's like, I didn't know they were going to take everything, like sort of thing. And he's like, I should have fucking known. He's like, no, dude, I was being serious. Like, I was really caring. It's just like, he's like, hey, man, you don't know what it's like out there. Like, I fucking need money. All right. Like, it is what it is. Like, none of us can be,
Oh, so you would essentially play the fallout with the brother here.
Yes.
And then it's not like the scene with Ms. Wonderful is. You know,
yes, he thinks his brother's gonna be mad because, yes, his brother finds out that he fucking helped these two guys steal all the drugs, and his brother's miserable and is angry at him. And that part really bothers him. He's not gonna tell Tequila that. He's like, oh, yeah, he doesn't know anything. He's just fucking, you know, he thinks he's bankrupt, but don't worry, we'll fix it in a couple days. He's not telling Tequila that, you know, his brother said finally, like, I hate you or whatever it is.
Yes.
And then, but what he doesn't realize is that there is this greater thing that's going on, which is his brother's life is about to be fucking run by Ms. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And that's
so
the consequence
be like
he doesn't.
You get, he gets, okay. So, yes, it would be, all right. Okay, I like the way that splits the goalposts, actually, because, yes, you would do, they do the heist, and then he gets caught.
Yes.
Right? And it could be as simple as his brother's there when they do the heist and they don't realize it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or his brother comes by the hospital to, again, visit a sick child late at night or whatever, right? And then the two other guys see his brother and kick the shit out of him or something like that. And then Jin has a choice between following them off with the drugs and or staying to help his brother. And he stays to help his brother and his brother knows it's him.
Yeah.
If he's got the ski mask on or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
I like that.
I like the flow of that. And again, we've had enough of him like pulling the wool over his brother's eyes at this point. It's definitely time for it to go south.
I like heisting with ski masks. And I like that his brother ends up being there late at night to do something, you know, whatever. Good. Like he's like helping. Yes, he's helping some child who's scared, couldn't go to sleep. And he's come to read him a bedtime story. And yes, it's the classic. The guys are like pushing him over and being the shit out of him. And Jin stops him from being the shit out of him and forces him down. And his brother looks up and recognizes as Jin. And it's like, how could you, brother? Sort of thing.
I don't think Freddy is... I think it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Freddy is like, how could you? I knew you were a piece of shit or whatever. Yeah. I think Freddy's very gentle with him and that pisses Jin off worse. Mm-hmm. It's like, get mad. Like, fucking, like, get pissed at me. Like, you're such a pushover. You're such a wimp. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you, and again, because that would what you would remind him of, like, you never stood up for me as a little kid. Do you know what I mean? Like, or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would be like.
Yeah, he's like immediately forgiving him. And being
in fact,
like,
he would say something that's like, you know, it's all in God's hands or something like that. It's like, you know, if that's what you want to do, he's like, get mad. He's like, for what? Like, I have no control over you. Like, you know, I'll get up and I'll pray just like I always do. He's like, I'm betting on it. You know, it's like it's like, get mad. And it's like, no, his brother's like, no, I'm going to, you know. Yeah, what am I going to do? It's like, I can't stop you.
Yeah, my heart breaks for you. He said it for him, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I was really hoping, you know, I didn't know. I was hoping for the best, but I guess, you know, like it wasn't, you know.
Right. And then, yes, it is like, it is obviously he's not going to have any sort of real relationship with his brother immediately after this.
And then I think you would do that. I think. OK, because here's what could be interesting, too, is that I think you do that. Freddy's flaw was that growing up, he didn't look out for his kid brother. Do you know what I mean? I do think you could do that, like, because again, that's a whole thing.
Yeah, he wasn't he was ignoring the earthly needs and thinking
about
the spiritual.
Again, I know we've switched to Taoism, but like in Buddhism, there's the idea of like the, like, you know, sort of like relative reality versus the absolute reality, right? And like relative reality is like the day-to-day drama of your life, right? Like am I going to get the promotion I want? Is, you know, am I going to get the callback about the script I sent? You know, above, like all that kind of striving and jockeying and all that stuff. And then there's the absolute reality, which is just the nature of the universe, right? Which is like that really being in touch with like the way things truly, you know, with the way things are, where, you know, there is no difference between me and Freddy and the chair and the sky and the earth. We all have Buddha nature, all part of the same thing, right? And, but they warn that just because, like, the absolute reality can be just as seductive in a way, mm-hmm. and convince you to ignore the goings on of relative reality. And the point is that it's not that you can or should ignore that stuff. You need to take care of that stuff as well. So it can be easy for a monk to detach from the world, and that's very much not the idea. You know what I mean? So yes, Freddy's flaw would be that he is, you know, sort of focused on cultivating his own connection with the universe, with being a good man, but like it takes a bravery and it takes a courage to step up for, you have to pay attention to your family and the world around you as well. And he has neglected being a good older brother to his brother.
In child psychology, you need to connect and then redirect. And he just never connected with his brother. He just went straight to redirect. He's like, oh, become a Buddhist monk. Like, pray.
Like me, it worked for me, but
no, you got to connect to the fact that like, I'm getting the shit beat out of me and I got peer pressure to be a gangster. And I'm living on the streets, like, come on, bro. Like, so any sort of connection here.
It feels like then the climax for Freddy would be he looks out for his brother.
Mm-hmm.
In your climax, when Jin is in the middle of, at his most desperate, vulnerable moment, trying to get away with this heist, or something bad's gonna happen to him. It's like Freddy, you know, puts his own, whether it's his own, if he's about to ascend to enlightenment, or it would be him doing that for Jin would be what prompts him to become enlightened.
I mean, it feels like he would sacrifice some element of something, one of his principles to save his brother, essentially, might be a thing. Like, in terms of, like again, it's a cost that he has for loving his brother. But like
what it would be for Freddy would be that he has a fear of getting his ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? He has a fear of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a fear of his own, of coming to harm.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it would be, as a kid, he told himself, like, I'm just being noble-minded. I'm just trying to, you know, be more, you know, skillful about the way I'm interacting with the world. And that's why I'm not going to go beat up those guys for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sent him down to a path that led to a lot of real spiritual meaning for him. But at the end of the day, he was also afraid of getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So it would be like that he's not afraid to get in the mix. Not that he's going to get into like a action scene or something like that, but do you know what I mean? It would be something like that.
I guess that it feels like people that are like nonviolent though inherently are like bring themselves the likelihood of getting violence put upon them very often. Like, it's like, I don't know if like the nonviolence is necessarily like afraid of, it feels like he got the shit beat out of him a lot. It feels like you would almost have a backstory, like a moment would be like these guys go to hassle them or whatever, and he's like, I will not fight you, my brothers. Like, if you wish to rob us, you know, rob us, and they beat the shit out of the two brothers. He's like, dude, what's up, older brother? Like, fucking help. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're just like, I'm little. I can't fight them. He's like, why did he fight them? He's like, because they're gonna beat us up. It's like, that's on them, that's not on us, like, sort of thing. It's like, well, that's fucking garbage, like, sort of thing. I don't know if it's quite enough for that he's like afraid of.
Sure. Sure.
I know what you're trying to get at.
That's a future us problem.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But then I think whatever that is, because I think you would do, if they're going to have a fight here, right?
Yes.
You would do that. That's what Jin digs. That's the thing that sticks with him, is that he's like, you know what? Me being like this, I wasn't a good older brother to my brother.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And I don't even mind that what he does is bad to some degree, because there's this own element of tragedy where Jin's going to see his brother do something maybe, again, not to his principles or not to his beliefs, and that's tragic in itself, because he just sees his brother loves him enough that he sees his brother sacrifice something of himself, like a real cost, like doing something that he doesn't believe in order to help him, and now he's going to regret ever demanding from his brother to do that. Like, he knows, like, now he knows his brother's right. Like, his brother shouldn't, like, if it was just nonviolence, it's like, yeah, like, he sees his brother beat the shit out of somebody, and it's like, now I wish...
What you want it's again, it's like he never gets his hands dirty. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like the nature of life is that sometimes you're going to have to get
your hands dirty.
A little bit, right? Because again, he's all about like, again, like I actually love the idea of seeing a early, like a flashback scene where, yes, it would be the two of them getting mugged. And then he's like, we have nothing to offer. Like, you know, like you must be like, he's going to offer the guys a flower or something that, right? And then you just cut to the both of them have gotten their ass kicked. He's like, why the hell didn't you stand up for us? And he's like, because violence begets violence, right? Like, you know, then, but what he doesn't realize is now it's open season on Jin, right? Like all the other kids, they're like, they had big brothers or dads that if you messed with them, they'd come back and mess with you. And that was the law of the street, right?
Yes.
And so it's like, well, you know, it's like the, if you beat up Jin, you'll get a flower. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, all the 12-year-olds will beat up all the 6-year-olds, but Jin's the only 6-year-old who gets beat up by other 6-year-olds. Yeah. There's no 12-year-old that's coming to defend him.
So I like that. And then it feels like it would be, it's like in the end of Pirates of the Caribbean where, what's his name? The guy from Commodore Norrington, where they've got Jack Sparrow and Will Turner, and he's like, oh, I believe we can give them like one day's head start, right?
Yes.
It would be like, I mean, like the simplest thing would be like the guys are running after Jin, and then his brother's there, and Jin looks at him, and like his brother trips one of the angels. Do you know what I mean? To give Jin time to get away, right? It's like the, I'm going to look out for you, even if it's like you got to fall. I don't know. It's something in there.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be some kind of like, you know. You know, it's just one of those little moments the whole movie hangs on and lives or dies by. And then if it works, it, you know.
Yeah, it'll be tough. It'll be kind of as we get there, is whether or not it's like this like subtle like moment between them, because Jin's already learned a lot that he kind of understands his brother more. So then a small gesture is enough. Or is it the big gesture that kind of changes his brother that makes Jin realize that he was wrong, kind of?
All right, well, cool. So, all right, just to walk through it, and then we can dive in and come back on the other side with it. So Jin comes in, he sees these two guys that his brother has been praying with, right? I think his brother would introduce him to them, and they'd be like, oh, wow, you know, like, these are, you guys might get along. These guys were former gangsters, and they blah, blah, blah. And then maybe, you know, it's like closing time, right? It's time for everybody to go home. And maybe Jin, sensing this is his opportunity, right? Is like, I'll drive them home, brother. Like, I'll take you guys home. You want a lift? And then he manages to find a way to get them by themselves. And he's like, all right, guys, listen up. Like, I know what you're doing here. Like, whatever you guys got going on, I want in. Right. And they're like, what do you mean we want in? Like, we're Buddhist. I was like, yeah. What is this about? Is this about this? Is this about that? Is this about the ketamine in the pharmacy? And they're like, look, no, honestly, wait a second. Did he say ketamine? Like, and then it's like he starts roping them into this heist, essentially. Right. And then you would cut to them doing the heist, or maybe a little mini scene of him planning it, if we want yet another heist planning scene. Mm-hmm. And maybe the brothers can be the ones who are like, dang, dude, this guy's your own brother and you're going to do him dirty. He's like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's, you know, like, I'll kick him. You're like, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
They go on the heist, and it goes off, and then they run into his brother in the middle of it, right?
Like, he's coming back to clean up or something? You want him to see it?
Or how do we want him to get
I like his brother being there late at night, and they bump into it, and his brother sees that it's him. Like, it's like in Face Off when he's being cast or Troy, and there's that one cop he pretends to shoot or whatever. It's like the two gangsters are going to beat the shit out of him. He's like, I got it. And then he's like, get out of here, like, asshole, before somebody notices. He's like, Jin, he's like, I'm sad for you or whatever. Like, I think his brother.
I don't know. So his brother.
If they're running out of there with all the drugs, and then his brother like walks into the hallway because he was here late at night, like the two guys are going to start beating the shit out of him or whatever, you know, to stop. Because Freddy's like, hey, stop or whatever. He's going to call the police, and they're beating the shit out of him. And Jin stops the two guys from beating the shit out of him. He's like, just get to the car, fucking go. I'll take care of him. And then, you know, he stops them from beating up his brother, and his brother recognizes him through the mask or whatever.
All right, to run through that. If it is just that he's on his way out, his brother recognizes him, and he realizes that his brother recognized that he did this, right?
Yes.
How do we go from there? Because I don't really understand.
I don't know how you get him there, but I think the fun thing to be would be in the same way that you played up Jin having just done this car chase and then going to his parents, to his mom. He's obviously wounded. He knows that his brother knows that he stole all these drugs. He tells the gang that it's all good. He fixed it. Everything's, my brother's going to pray. He's going to go check on it. He comes back saying, don't worry, it's all good still. But he, you know, we know what just happened, which is his brother knows that he's a criminal and just stole from his fucking charity hospital. It feels like a confrontation to have, again, if I was just trying to think of just, I don't quite know what the scene is, but the most fun thing to do would be to have him and his brother
at the mom's
and his brother, and his brother doesn't want to say anything, doesn't want to be angry, isn't going to ruin dinner. And that just gets Jin into like, why aren't you fucking telling? Why aren't you telling mom anything or something like that?
Okay. Now here's what I would say. If you're going to do that, I don't know if Jin should know that he got made by the brother.
Yeah,
cheer me out.
That's why he goes to his.
Because yeah, if he knew that his brother knew, he wouldn't show up. Yes. It'd be so stupid. But if you were gonna do it, okay, yes, if you were gonna do this, because I love the idea of doing this all at the house. Because if you were gonna remember, his brother gave him that ID badge.
Yeah.
Like if you were gonna do, that's how he got in. Right. The way I would do the scene is this, is that they're running around. They do the heist. They bump into the brother. The pills go everywhere. They're scrounging the pills up, you know, while the, you know, like Jin's gathering all the pills while the two guys are tuning up, you know, Freddy.
Yeah.
And then he gets them to go. They all run. And then you would do Freddy, you know, during the scuffle or whatever, grabbed something.
Yeah.
And then you would do after they've closed the doors, Freddy, like, you know, wipes the blood off his face and looks at this thing in his hand, and it's Jin's ID badge.
Yes, Jin's last thing is he looks back and he sees his brother bloodied on the floor, and he's like, oh, shit, this went bad.
And he closes the door, and then
we see, and then we see Jin, and then we see Freddy looks and knows that it's Jin.
Yes. And then you would go to the next scene, and then, and then Jin's coming in like, oh my gosh, what happened? You got beat up at the hospital?
Yeah.
It was those two monks with a third accomplice? So weird. And then, you could do... Something we'll figure out.
Yes, that's fun.
Okay, that's really good. I like that a lot. And then, yes, you do the mom being oblivious, and then Freddy getting to play this card in the scene, essentially, when he, like, you know, he's going to at some point slam that thing down on the table.
Yes. Okay, but yes, for today, I think you can end it with that.
That's a really great image, and you're like, oh, shit, he knows it's Jin.
Yes.
Right? And then, yes, we can deal with that. And then, yes, now you have, like, now, like, he knows it's Jin, Mrs. Wonderful knows about the hospital. Like, it starts building and building and building.
Yes. All right. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we got a stew going.
Yeah. Starting to kick up a notch. Getting intense.
The drama.
And drugs.
We've tallied too long in silly heist land. Now it's time to get to the
base. Now it's serious.
Now it's gritty, serious heist land.
Dark heist.
See, that's what's good is we give you all sorts of heist flavor in this movie. There's like, you know, there's cool getaway driving heist. There's wacky cosmic heaven heist. And now we're getting to like that, like, again, that small time crooks, gritty bunch of guys in ski masks stealing a bunch of pills heist.
Yeah.
All right.
All level of crimes represented. All right. When we come back, the scene.
The scene.
Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And we're the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Can I Pet Your Dog? Now, Alexis.
Yes.
We got big news.
Uh-oh.
Since last we did a promo, our dogs have become famous.
World famous.
World, like...
stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Second big news.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are in.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself to Apple Podcasts. You know what you're going to hear? We're happy.
It's true.
We're a delight, a great distraction from the world.
I like that part a lot.
So if that's what you guys are looking for, you got to check out our show. But what else can they expect?
We've got dog tech, dog news, celebrities with their dogs, all dog things.
All the dog things. So if that interests you, well, get yourself on over to Maximum Fun every Tuesday.
Jin stops in his tracks and his eyes bolt wide with horror as he stares at Freddy, sipping tea with the two gangsters who shook him down at Lily's apartment. The gangsters now wear monk robes and sit crisscross applesauce as they look up at Freddy with reverent wonder.
Kyle, what a surprise. Oh, and look who's decided to abandon their criminal ways in the pursuit of a gentler path.
The gangsters wave at Jin.
Hi.
Jin's face fills with grim despair as he waves back.
Hi.
Freddy leads the two newly converted monks up to Jin.
This is Brother James and Brother Jeffrey. Brothers. I think you've met my brother, Kyle.
They shake Jin's hand.
Hello, brother.
Your brother, Freddy, is a great brother, brother.
Perfect.
For sure. Hey, can I talk to you?
Freddy nods. Jin leads him away to the other side of the room. Behind them, Brother James and Brother Jeffrey return to their tea.
What the heck happened? I thought these guys were shaking you down.
They came by the temple and beat me up again. So I made them some tea, and we got to talking, and now they've taken the vow of poverty.
Jin glances back and sees James daintily pour a cup of tea for Jeffrey, who bows in thanks.
I don't know, they still look pretty shifty to me.
Kyle, you of all people should know that it's never too late to walk a more harmonious path.
Yeah, well, all the same, there's always more crooks out there. Maybe you should pray to Tai Shen for some spare cash, just in case some other punks pick up where those two left off.
Kyle, don't you see? That's why the gods sent me James and Jeffrey. Our enemies have become our protectors. With these warrior monks on our side, no one's going to mess with us. Our days of dire financial need are over.
He pats Jin on the back with a smile. Jin frowns.
What a joyous occurrence.
Exterior temple, night. Jin lurks in the bushes outside of the temple as Freddy, Jeffrey, and James close up for the night. He watches as they say their goodbyes, then stalks up to Jeffrey and James as they walk away.
All right, you two. I want in.
In? Sorry, in on what, brother?
On whatever scheme you've got up your sleeve. What's the angle? I know you've got a score cooking.
The only thing we're hoping to score is a sense of oneness with the universe.
Ah, don't give me that. You're after the ketamine, same as me, aren't you?
Whoa, ketamine? What ketamine?
Are you trying to steal from your own brother?
Jin gives a hammy, overacted gasp and pretends he's blown his cover.
Oh no, I've said too much.
He makes a big dramatic show of starting to run. They grab him and pin him to the wall.
Spill it, punk. What are you up to? All right, I'll talk. Just don't hurt me. The pharmacy at the hospital, they've got more K than they know what to do with. It's just sitting right there for the picking.
Brother Jeffrey's serene affect disappears in an instant, replaced by a hungry criminal scowl.
How much cat valium are we talking?
Brother James gasps.
Brother Jeffrey?
Sorry. Force of habit.
Get together. We're monks now. We're beyond such earthly desires. He's right. Why risk your hard-earned wisdom over a mere 250 kilos?
Now it's Brother James's turn to gawk in surprise. Jin turns his head away in a dramatic show of refusal.
No, it's wrong. That sweet, sweet, pure, uncut, medicine-grade K is for the sick and needy.
Both brothers eye him greedily.
Is medical grade?
Brother James starts scheming in his head and arrives at a crafty rationalization.
Wait a second. How many kids die every year thanks to poor quality street drugs?
Brother Jeffrey nods along, picking up the ball.
It's better they do safe drugs than dangerous ones, right?
Yeah, we'd be doing them a favor, saving lives.
Brother Jeffrey shakes his head, overcome by doubt.
But what of the hospital? If we steal a bunch of drugs, Brother Freddy could get in trouble. They might even pull his funding.
Brother James paces, racked with indecision.
What to do?
Jin strokes his chin like a contemplative sage.
Lao Tzu says, at the center of your being, you have the answer. You know who you are, and you know what you want.
James and Jeffrey stare at each other for a hard beat.
I won't steal the drugs.
You know.
Jin smiles, satisfied.
I'll drive.
Interior hospital, pharmacy, night. The door busts open, and Jin, James, and Jeffrey rush in, ski masks covering their faces. With duffel bags in tow, they start looting every prescription bottle in sight.
Now remember, this is all for a good cause.
Yeah, get the Vicodin too.
As they ransack the place, Jin's phone begins to ring in his pocket. He pulls it out. It's Freddy calling.
Shit, it's Freddy. Keep it down.
Jin steps out into the hallway. Interior hospital, hallway, night. Jin answers the phone with a perfect nonchalant air.
Hey bro, what's up?
Hey, Kyle, would you mind making some more of those dumplings for dinner tonight with Mom? I know it's my turn to cook, but I gotta run an errand at the hospital right now.
Jin's face freezes in fear.
Sure.
He cups his hand over the speaker and whisper shouts back at James and Jeffrey in the pharmacy.
We gotta get the hell out of here.
Oh, thanks, Kyle. You're a lifesaver.
Jin returns to the phone call, cool as a cucumber.
No problem. Say, what's the errand at the hospital?
Behind Jin, James and Jeffrey slip out of the pharmacy, their duffel bags full. They hurry towards the back door.
Just a secret alarm went off again. It's probably just a glitch. It happens all the time.
Unbeknownst to Jin, James and Jeffrey freeze in place when they see a silhouette through the back door's frosted window.
Oh, what a pain. Hey, you know, I'm in the area. Why don't you just tell me the code?
No. Thanks, though. I'm almost there. I'll just take care of it myself.
The silhouette grows bigger and the door starts to unlock. Jeffrey and James pin themselves to the wall on either side and ready their fists.
Okay, well, just be careful.
Thanks, bro.
The door swings open, Freddy enters the hospital, and James and Jeffrey knock him down with a barrage of brutal blows. Jin whirls around at the commotion, his face fills with horror.
Stop.
He throws his phone at them. It clonks Jeffrey on the head. He stops his assault, looks down at Freddy, and realizes who he's been pummeling.
Oh my god, it's...
Shh.
Jin rushes up to them. Freddy groans on the ground.
What have we done? Get out of here. Go.
Jin shoves them through the door with their ill-gotten goods. He looks down at his brother, writhing in pain. Deep guilt flashes in Jin's eyes. He kneels down for a moment to check on Freddy, then stops when he hears a car honking outside. Jeffrey and James wait in the front seats of their getaway car.
We gotta go!
Jin pulls back, spots his phone on the ground, snatches it, and runs away. As he flees into the night, Freddy coughs up blood as he comes out of a groggy daze. He sees his phone lying on the ground in front of him. He feebly reaches out and grabs it. But it's Jin's phone! The busted screen shows a picture of Jin and an ongoing call to Freddy. Freddy puts the phone to his ear and hears the voices of Jin, Jeffrey, and James on the other side.
Did he recognize us?
I don't think so. Is he gonna be all right? He'll be fine. Shut up and let me drive.
Freddy weeps as he hears his brother's voice on the phone. The sound of the getaway car peeling out echoes into the night. Dun dun dun!
Poor Jacked Freddy. Up. Betrayed by
that
his own
like dark.
Brother. Betrayed by his own brother.
Dude, fucking Jin sucks, man. He did dirty
kilograms.
In this scene.
Huh? 250 kilograms is a lot.
Is that a lot? Like, how much did Will write? Is it like a plane?
Hold on, let me see. Let's just
Google world's largest ketamine bust. And let's
yeah.
See.
Largest ketamine bust.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Malaysia last year cops seized 92 kilograms in the biggest bust of the year to date.
Man, they've made out like
bandits. There's ones like Japan, 3.7 tons. 250 is a lot.
Well, 250 is a lot? I don't even mean this is the metric system. I have no idea.
It's the metric system.
Well, we'll scale that back. We can scale that back a little bit.
No, it should be that it's like the money at the end of Breaking Bad level. Like, oh my God, we stole millions of dollars.
The twist hasn't have anything to do with Mrs. Wonderful. The twist is just that Freddie has been hauling and smuggling ketamine out of this hospital for years. Oh, shit. Man.
That was great.
That was great. Dang, guys. Getting real.
I'm trying to see how much 93 kilograms was.
I'm trying to see how much it's worth.
Was worth, so I can get a sense of just how much money.
It's about, okay, here we go.
What's the street value of that K?
Street value.
God, this is hard to Google. Street value, ketamine in dollars.
Okay, 108 kilograms has an estimated street value of $1.62 million. So 250, they stole about like $4 million. Stole about $4 million worth of ketamine. I like to think that's more that that Freddie is like very well-intentioned, but isn't quite like the most like strict administrator. And he's like, how much ketamine do we think we need? And like you, he's like, I don't know, what, like 250 like kilograms, like, right? Like you probably do like a gram every dosage, at least 250 doses, not realizing
that
we
have
like,
to reorder.
He's like, man, why are we broke already? I shouldn't have ordered. He just had $4 million of ketamine sitting there.
Dang, that's a heist.
That's a heist.
Well, yeah, okay. Damn, I was just like, I'm nervous about where the script is going to go. I feel like it's going to be a heavy duty. I keep, as we were writing this, I keep going back and forth on what should happen with Freddie. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if he should get killed. That might be too dark, but we'll see. Dark. That's one for future us to figure out.
Unless he gets, because I like him in the garden tending his brother.
Huh? Like, at the end?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we had talked about that.
Rather than him dying. Maybe he doesn't need to die.
Maybe still Freddie doesn't need to die.
Still an option. That's going to do it for us this week. Will, where can we find us if you don't want to listen to us and want to read us instead?
At home.
The take-home version of Story Break can be found at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak or the Facebook group is at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. That's where we are.
And also,
come say hi and
don't forget, MaximumFun.org, home of all the great, best podcasts. The podcasts that haven't sold out, that stayed true to their artist roots, MaximumFun.org.
Is that like a subtweet? That feels like a subtweet.
Damn, what are you subtweeting right now?
This American Life. Come at me, Ira. I shouldn't say that.
There you have it.
I shouldn't say that.
Too late. You did. There's no taking it back.
You can't possibly edit it.
You came at the king and you missed.
Hey, quick question. If there was going to be, like, you know how like Logan Paul and KSI had like this big publicized fight? Mm-hmm. Imagine that, but for podcasts, and it's just like Roman Mars takes on Ira Glass, and they like got into a fist fight. Like, how many tote bags do you think that could sell?
That would move some tote.
That would move
some
totes, dude.
I think
I'd say about 250 kilos of tote.
Tote bags.
I think if you did Joe Rogan versus Ira Glass, you could probably get people to watch that.
But Ira Glass is in a giant mecha suit.
Yeah, All right, let's put this one to bed.
And his fists are like this. Is act one.
Stop.
Okay. Ending this week by Chad Ellis. This is Freddie Wong signing off.
Will Campos also signing off.
And this is Matt Arnold. Wash your hands, everybody.
Oh, and look up how to wash them properly. Everyone does it wrong.
Tell the people. Give
look
them
the There's a video. Look it up.
Just look it up.
Google it.
It involves a lot more rubbing than you think.
Much like life.
Hey, J. Keith.
Hey, Helen. I hear you have a true-false quiz you want me to finish.
I do. Here we begin. We host a trivia game show podcast on the Max Fun Network called Go Fact Yourself.
True.
Correct. The show is all about celebrity guests answering trivia questions about things J. Keith enjoys.
False. We sometimes don't talk about baseball or cats.
Thank God. It's questions about things they enjoy. Next, we bring on surprise experts every episode.
True.
Correct. Final question. It's just the two of us sitting alone with these guests.
False.
Correct. We have a live audience at the Angel City Brewery. See? You can hear Go Fact Yourself every first and third Friday of the month. And if you don't listen, you can go fact yourself.
True.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.